Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner mini theater. This afternoon, it is currently 2 o'clock. And we'll be having a very interesting presentation from Jeff Kesselman, one of the members of the Dark Star community. And this will be a peek into Bunny Hunter, a game running in the Dark Star framework. Jeff?
Thank you very much. So as you announced, I'm Jeff Kesselman. I'm actually the lead architect on Project Dark Star. I'm also your community lead, for its worth, on the Dark Star community. This is a demo that I wrote for the talks today at the show. It took me about, it was evening, so I have to kind of figure it out, but it's about 2.5 man weeks. I'm going to talk a bit about how it works inside, then hopefully have enough time to run a little demo. So, we're going to talk about the structure and a bit of the code of Bunny Hunters. We'll be focusing on the server side, which is the Darkstar application. The client side is a very standard state-based game loop, like anybody who's written a game would write. If you're interested in that stuff, want to know more, it was written with an API called Slick, which is a really nice 2D game API. It's available at slick.cocomcode.com. So some starting notes on this. Bunny Hunters, and some of this will be familiar to some of you if you went to my talk yesterday, but there's some new stuff in here too. For those of you who didn't, Bunny Hunters is a 2D Super Nintendo about level style game. Because it's a 2D game, basically it's up to four players from each corner, a lot like a lot of games of that era, this makes scaling pretty easy, actually. I don't have Jack's problem of worrying about dealing with thousands of players, because I've got four players per board. They're the only people who talk to each other. On the other hand, being 2D actually makes dealing with latency hard. And I like to say there's actually, when you deal with massively multiplayer online games, there's two hard things about that. Massive and online. Okay. So the massive part is not a big problem for this game. But the online part's significant. When you have a 3D game, your view of the world is actually fairly constrained and limited. You have, as Jack mentioned, if it's a shooter, you may have a limited 45-degree arc or so of vision. You can only see so far. The further things get, the more imprecise the lower your accuracy is of where they are, the more they have to move in order to move a pixel, basically, because of perspective. In general, there are lots of ways to cheat and hide discrepancies between different clients' views. 2D games are a lot harder because, first of all, you have a god's eye view of the situation. You can see everything that's going on in the game at once. Furthermore, in general, in 2D games, position is very important in terms of determining whether something hits or misses. If you look at a massive multiplayer online game, role-play game like World of Warcraft, City of Heroes, they cheat this one badly. What they do, they actually, if you look at the way combat works in those games, it's a little bit remote. You're saying, take this attack, do this thing. The game is going, okay, well, you're using this attack, you have this much skill, the player has these defenses, it's that much skill, we do a random number, it's basically like rolling dice in a pen and paper game. The result is that most you don't need exact positional information because it's not really part of the equation. 2D games you generally do, unfortunately. In order to deal with that, Bunny Hunters is a modified lockstep game. Now, what I mean by lockstep is that play goes on at a fixed rate in turns. It's a lot like, on the server side, like a board game going on in rounds. Now, when you build lockstep games, there is an issue if you tie that to the input on the client directly. If you do that, then what happens is everybody's performance ends up being the performance of the worst player. And a lot of the old-style lockstep shooter games like Duke Nukem 3D, this was a big problem. In this case, we're using a technique that was more or less evolved by the guys who did Age of Empires, where it's lockstep, but it keeps on going at a fixed rate. If you get your move in, great. If you don't, we just go on without you. The result is that if you lag out, it can be hard for one person to play, but you don't affect everybody else's gameplay. As I mentioned before, it's effectively a board game. You're always in a discrete position in the grid map. Now, on the client, you animate moving across, but that animation is really happening between turns. In fact, it helps cover the time we need to communicate turns back and forth. As mentioned before, many online games are partial lockstep. But these MMOs, typically what happens is that when you're moving around, you're free to move. So you can run around free anywhere you want, and it's communicating that. Whenever people catch up, they catch up. It's basically open loop asynchronous. However, when you get into combat, combat is typically done on a tick. And there's a couple reasons for this. One is it ensures fairness. Just because somebody is faster getting stuff in does not give them necessarily an advantage. Two, it ensures order, which is often very important in these games, to be able to say who goes when, who's faster than who. All right, so step one in Bunny Hunters is logging in. The client attempts to connect. That connect is handled by something in the Darkstar side called Authenticator. Our default authenticator is a null authenticator. It just accepts everybody and says, that's who you say you are, it's fine with me. In Bunny Hunters, I need a little bit more because I'm doing a high scoreboard, so I'm going to have different people logging in with the same name. I wrote a little custom authenticator, which looks up username and password in a little database. If it's in the database, it validates password. If you're not in the database, it goes, oh, this is a new user. It creates that entry. In order to find a custom authenticator, a little bit of SGS magic that's not in the docs, you implement a class called Identity Authenticator. There's a C missing. It returns a custom identity. That class, it implements the interface of the authenticator. It returns a custom identity, which you also implement. That's an implementation of the identity interface. You install it. So those are just two classes you have to write, the authenticator and the identity. Those are installed by setting an optional property in the config file, which the property is com/sgs/app/authenticators. You set that equal to your class path to the particular authenticator class you've written. All right. Step two, entering the lobby. A lobby, for those people who don't know, is a place where players meet and are aggregated to play a game together. Often full lobbies have chat facilities, have ways to create games and select who you want to play in them. They also may have tools for saving the game session options. Bunny Hunters doesn't do any of that. It's very simple. It's the simplest lobby possible the whole thing was written, as I say, in about 2.5 weeks. So we just collect players in the order that they log on. We give players, or as they collect, we put them into a game session. When there are 4 players, we launch the game. We also give them the option to launch early, in which case the missing players are played by robots. That's what the lobby looks like. It counts down, it removes hunters as players join. Talking about the code for a minute. All the code, every Darkstar application begins with something called the app listener. This is a managed object, which, as Jack mentioned in his talk, is an object that exists in the object store, the persistent database of the Darkstar server. There is one of these. It's created by the system for you. You set a config parameter again in that config file I was talking about that says, this is my app listener class. One of those is created in the database to start. That's effectively your bootstrap. It gets created, and initialized method on it gets called. You use that then to create all your other objects that make up the core of your game. Every time a user logs in, your app listener gets an event call back of logged in. Logged in, what you do is it actually gets passed a client session object, which is how you identify the user on the Darkstar server side, and it returns a client session listener for the user. The MCP class in the Bunny Hunter Online code base is the app listener. The Hunter class in Bunny Hunters is a client session listener. As I mentioned, this is the person who gets all the client events from that point on, the object that gets them. So MCP, the way we find the client session listener for Bunny Hunters is the MCP gets a client session object from logged in. From that, it can then get a name of who's attached to that session. Objects, the managed objects of Darkstar can have a string, a name bound to them. So we've bound a name, hunter underbar name, to each hunter we've created. So we go, we look him up. If he's not there, we create him. We then tell everybody who's already waiting for a game about the new hunter arriving. We tell the new hunter about all the hunters that are already waiting. If there's 4, we start the game, and in any case, we return the hunter back. It was very important. Logged in must return the client session listener back, or the server assumes you don't really want anybody to handle that session, and it kills it. This is what the code looks like for that. Sending through the hunter. App context is your route you use to talk to all the managers of the system. Data manager is the manager that handles managed objects. So getBinding is a call we use to get back a class that's bound to a name. If the class doesn't exist, it actually throws a name not bound exception, in which case we create it, and then we use setBinding to put it in the database with that name. All right. What if the client leaves before the game starts? We've been collecting players. What if his machine dies? What if he decides to go away? It goes to dinner, whatever. The answer is that the client session lister, which remember we said the hunter implements, has a disconnected method on it that calls when the player gets called when the player drops. It then calls back to the MCP, tells it, I'm gone, and the MCP removes it from the wait list and lets all the other players know. So step three. Five? Okay. Ten. Oh, good. Step three, gameplay. Now, I'm going to do gameplay. This is simplified. You can look at the full code base, which is open source, to see everything it does. But I want to sort of hit the high points of it. Like a game board represents a game session. When the MCP has collected four players, it creates a game board, and it tells the game board, these are your players. That game board creates a map to play on, which you'll see is a space with hedges on it. And it also adds the robots to it, the buddies and any robot players. And then it sends all that information down to the player. And the way you get information back to the player from the server, remember I said you get that client session object when you logged in. There's a send method right on that session object that just transfers bytes to that player. Now the game board, remember we said this is lockstep. It's going to be going on a half-second tick. So it needs to get a tick method to work on. The way you get a tick is with a repeating task. All events are handled by tasks in the system. The game board must implement the task interface in order to get be a task that can be called back. So we do that. The task has one method, which is run. We then use the task manager, which we also get from the app context, as you can see on the bottom, to tell it, schedule this to be called back. So this is obviously the task we're scheduling. Zero is the delay. You can set amount of delay before the first callback occurs. So we're saying callback as soon as time, the time is, basically callback right away, and then as soon as time has passed. And then the tick time milliseconds is the amount of time per periodic callback. Now it's important to note that if you're doing things that are really time-based, that is your requested time to call back. Because of a couple of reasons, because of scheduling of the system, and because it's possible we may have to reschedule you for deadlock avoidance, depending on what you're doing, you may not get called back. If I say a period of 10 milliseconds, it's not exactly 10 milliseconds I'm going to get called back on. So if what you're doing is time critical, it's important you do a check with current session time, you know, current time millis or nano time, depending on what resolution you need. And then adjust. In my game, since all this is a round, if a round is delayed a little, it's not a big deal. I don't have to worry about it. On the tick, the game reads the input for the hunters. It generates new moves for the robots. It does actions first, shoot, eat carrot, which has a star because that isn't implemented yet, those things. Then it does moves. So it moves the hunters and bunnies to a new XY position on the board. Finally, it sends results of all that down to the hunter players. Now, hunter moves come in asynchronously, separate from the tick. When the hunter move is posted up for the client, you get a receive message callback on the client session lister, which, if you recall, was the hunter. We store the hunter until the next tick. Now, there's a problem if we just do this simply. The problem is that we're doing asynchronous writing on the hunter to write these moves. We're doing consuming and writing of the XY position for the tick. As Jack mentioned in his talk, when you write to an object in the Darkstar system, it takes a write lock. We've now got a contention between the tick and between the move coming in from the player. In practice, what happened was the game worked fine with one player. When I hit about two players, the whole thing just basically locked up on me because it was constantly trying to reschedule around each other. Contention is your biggest performance hit in the Sun Game server, which is, I should mention, Darkstar is technically the project name. Sun Game server is technically the server. Lots of people call the SGS Darkstar. Don't get confused. Did I just confuse you? Okay, good. As I say, contention is your biggest performance hit. That is where you're going to see your server performance drop. So the solution was to refactor this a little to eliminate contention. What we did was we moved our XY position, our current cell, to a separate object. It's called Hunter Stats in the database, HunterStats.class. That's a separate managed object. We keep a managed reference to that from the Hunter, so the Hunter can get to it. This solves the XY-write problem, because now we can just lock that to write XY without locking the Hunter itself. We still have a problem with produce-consume, though, because normally what you think you would do is when you get the move, you put it in on a field, and when it was consumed, you set the field to null. But now you've got two writes again. So the solution was this, was to give a sequence number on commands coming in from the client. So when a move comes in, it also has just an ordinal number, 1, 2, 3, 4, counting up. On Hunter Stats, we keep the number of the last move we have processed. So now, when the tick occurs, I read the move, I process the move, I don't touch the move, which is on the Hunter, but I update the Hunter, the last move used on Hunter Stats, to be the sequence number that's on the Hunter. Now, if the next tick I come through and I see that those two are equal, it means I haven't gotten a new move yet, and I shouldn't repeat the old move. I should just ignore it. That's about all I have time for, except for the demo. For more information, you can do a couple things. ProjectDarkStar.com has the forums, has the SDK, which includes tutorials. We're putting up open source examples of the community page, which is linked right off there. A lot of stuff there. We'll be there post-Java 1. Some of the stuff I'm talking about now will get put up in the week after Java 1 as I get my breath back, but it'll all be there. The Belly Hunter online itself is totally open source, including the assets. There are some limits that you can't use the assets for other games, but you can use it with that code, modify that code, build your own game out of that, as long as it's technically derivative of Bunny Hunters. So let's do the demo. And I have 4 minutes, so we'll see if I can get this up and running in time to show you guys. I have to open the right project. Did I not get open project? Let's do that again. Open project. Yes. Why are you telling me you have a problem? What is your problem? You were running last night. Can't. Problems. Nina Core. All right. Give me a sec to point to the right place. Build path. I don't know why I didn't complain about this last night. Add library. Next. Mina. Finish. Okay, you happy now? Oh. All right, now I ran this last night at the talk. So the question is, why was I running in a different... Pretty sure I was running BHOSVN. All right. Well, let's real quick go into fix the library. Properties. Mina. Darn it. Wish I had networking. Actually, we do have networking, don't we? We have the wireless. Let me turn on my wireless and see if I can just run the web-started one. Josh Net? Okay. Alright. Atheros. There's nothing worse than doing this while everybody is looking. Okay. Action. Enable radio. Scan. Refresh. There we go. Josh Link? All right. Now, the show network does occasionally suck. I have seen it give me some really bad latency spikes. But if that happens, you'll sort of see what happens when you have latency spikes in the game. All right. All right. don't know if you'll hear the audio. I'll push the audio up as loud as it'll go. Yeah. I should mention Mind Control Software. It's a friend of mine's company. It's a game company. They donated the sprite art. I should also mention that I put it through some rather grody shrinkage, so the funny stuff at the edges is not their fault. So there's the lobby. We just one player there. I can wait around and see if we get another player, but I'll just get started here. So the music is pretty soft, but at least you can hear the sound effects. Now, there's some tuning that can be done on this. This has not been tuned yet. The movement, there's sort of a little pause window I think I can get rid of after the move, having to do with the timing of going up and coming down versus the timing of, I just got killed by the robots, but the timing of going up and down by the against the timing of the movement. But that's basically the game. All right. We have any time left for Q&A, or are we over?
One question.
Any questions?
Okay, Jeff, cool. Thank you very much. That was a peek into the Bunny Hunters game running on the Darkstar framework. And Jeff will be in the Java.net community corner to continue demonstrations and to show off the project. Coming up next at 2:30 will be Building Your Jug on a Solid Foundation. That's your Java user group on a solid foundation. And speaking will be Klaus John Tucker.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2007 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner, or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.